There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need, backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Hola, we're about to be super close, okay, even though we can't stand each other at the moment.
We're back in the podcast. What do you mean at the moment? I have no problem with you, but this...
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I have a problem with... Okay.
Oh, yes, you do.
We just jumped right into it. We didn't even say good morning,
good
everyone.
Morning.
Yeah.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
No.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien, but not a problem with you. I have... Okay, a couple things just happened.
What happened?
She was very late to be on time here to record the podcast, A. B, and I have no idea why, because she's like all glammed up and I look like I...
I have an interview after this. I told you. And I'm not glammed up. I'm just a little bit like...
B, she complains last week, why are we so dark in the video? So we have the, you know, ring lights. They're supposed to light up the sort of set, right?
We have ring lights. So they're doing a lot.
I have one ring light, one, and I moved it close. And I was like, as I was setting everything up, waiting for her to get here, the light is close. And she's like, oh my God.
Guys,
oh my God.
I always I set up the lights. Yep. And this time, because I was late, he set up the room.
I set up my light because there's nobody next to me.
I walk in and he has a light basically in front of him. Like it was the funniest thing ever.
Like I was getting light.
Like you're doing
face.
A makeup tutorial or something.
No, like I'm an influencer.
You're an influencer.
I literally just did that because you said it was too dark.
Okay.
So then she comes in and puts like two giant lights all around her, but now it's blocking all the cameras. And then she's complaining that the camera.
And I'm
still
dark.
That's why we're so
Look,
close. That's why
I have to do the podcast like this.
That's what. Come on, man.
You see, you can't stand me.
Climbing on top of
How
me.
Come you can't stand me?
I have
me?
No problem with
What's
you.
What's happening? Like, he's giving me, again, that weird vibe. Do you have a problem? Do you want to discuss? Should we use this platform as couples therapy? What is your freaking problem?
I've given no
problem?
Weird vibe. Here, settle down. I've given no weird vibe.
Okay.
What happened this morning, again, she was late. We have keys to come into where we, you know, our office where we shoot the podcast. She didn't bring her keys. And I don't know if we've talked about this before, but she is, and I say this with love because it feels like we're always griping at each other.
Clearly, but you're always griping at me.
Yeah, like we're griping.
What is griping?
Like we're bickering back and forth. But she always says that I'm a mess, but I'm not. And she says she's the most organized person, but she's the most disorganized person that there is.
That's a key word.
Disorganized, organized.
I know exactly inside my disorganization.
Mm-hmm.
I know everything that is going
why
on.
Why were you locked out of the house?
Because I didn't bring the key.
Okay, but if you're so organized. So she has a bowl that she bought to put in front of the house that she says, okay, I want all
Dios
the keys
mio,
to be put
Cristo.
In this bowl so that when we have to leave, we know where the keys are and they're not lying on the counter everywhere else. So who's the one that puts the keys in the bowl every single day? Me. Where are her keys? She never knows. So she basically leaves the house. Last time she left with both car keys in her purse and I had to be somewhere. I was stuck. No keys.
When did this happen?
Thankfully, it was just like last week. I was like, Roz, I have to leave. She's like, oh, shoot, you're right. I have both keys. Yeah, because none of them are in the freaking bowl.
Can I tell you something?
So luckily,
Eric,
I found
every
my
single
spare
relationship
key.
In the world goes through this. Sometimes the husband or the wife, they take both keys.
Now,
this is not something new. This is not extraordinary.
Okay. I would understand
so who cares?
I would understand it if you were the one that didn't have the whole put the keys in the bowl idea. But because you were so adamant that I don't leave my junk around and that I put things in the bowl, then why are you the one?
So that's why you're giving me weird vibes and you were mega annoyed that you had to open, that I had to call one of the producers. Is Easton a producer on the show?
I had my phone on silent.
One of the team members, yeah. Easton. Easton is the do-it-all.
I had my Easton, phone on silent.
So he ignored me and I had to call Easton. Thank you, Easton. Easton.
Roz is locked out.
How you say
she
his name? Sorry, Easton.
Easton.
Easton. Okay. Yeah. Easton, thank you for responding immediately like a good... Sorry, husband.
Not annoyed.
You're
just
my
like,
new husband, Easton.
I'm just like, I don't understand the complaint that I'm always so disorganized.
I don't want to talk about this nonsense anymore. Are you going to go to space one day?
What?
Are you going to go to space one
day? I would love to go to space one day. But Roz got all upset this morning. She's like, oh, did you see what Prince Charles said?
It wasn't Charles. It was his son.
I mean, Prince William said about the space race, that this is ridiculous. All these billionaires wasting their money.
It is ridiculous.
When they could be helping the planet that we live in. Yeah. Which... he's not totally wrong, but Jeff Bezos did donate $10 billion to climate change.
How do you think, how much is costing him to do this whole circus about going to the space and all that? How much is, give me a number.
$10 billion is three times Oprah's supposed net worth.
That's not, you know, answer my question.
He's giving
whatever
that much money.
Whatever money he is putting into flying people to, where are they going?
They're just going, it is kind of funny. He's like basically a very expensive Magic Mountain ride.
Exactly.
You just go up. So you see black, you see the earth,
that money,
and you come back down.
Put it back into more green
but Elon
deal
Musk,
type of solution.
Okay, but Elon Musk?
There's millions of kids that are hungry around the world that would love to have a little piece of sandwich that Jeff Bezos can sponsor.
I don't.
And I'm sure he does a
and I'm
lot.
Sure he does all that.
And I'm sure all of them do. They're extraordinary people.
$200 billion.
But this whole thing going to, listen, I think it's incredible like that human beings have the capability of doing that, of going to space and going to the moon and studying planets. I think it's an incredible thing, but it's becoming now a little bit of a, let's just get into a plane and go to the moon.
You always tell me you like to make your own money and you hate when people tell you how to spend it or how to handle it. So why is it any different? He makes all his own money.
I'm going
to
tell him how to spend it.
Yeah, I know. Why is it okay for you to tell him how to spend it, but you don't want people telling you how to spend yours?
Because whatever.
What do you mean? That's not a solid answer.
I don't have an answer.
He made, as capitalism, he's made all this money on his own. He's, you know, self-made.
So you agree with what they're doing and you want to be like, you know what he said to me this morning, guys? I thought, oh, I will do it in a heartbeat.
I would.
I want to go to space.
I would. Yep. And the problem is?
You're going to have to get a lot of more.
A lot more money, first
lot
of all.
A lot of more followers for them to sponsor your trip.
Followers, money. He's going to start being money now. I think, you know, all these billionaires do a lot for the planet. They do a lot. I mean, here you have a Prince of England talking about it. Like, what's the royal family doing with spending all the money to constantly change the planet? I mean, they have a royal family. I mean, like a royal family that doesn't run the country. They have a prime minister that runs the country. The royal family's like a figurehead.
No criticizing the royal family
now?
No,
I'm not criticizing. Wow. I think it's kind of funny.
Wow.
It's kind of funny. Like, okay. Just think about that.
But okay, so you're going to space. I'm not going to space. Yeah, I'm not pointing fingers. I just want whatever. I don't. You know, I don't really care. I think it's silly what they're doing.
What Elon Musk is doing, though.
But if it makes them happy and fulfilled, and they think they're doing something to humanity, to elevate humanity, and if their dream is to be able to create hotels and a whole neighborhood and communities in Mars or whatever planet they discover, then good for them.
I don't think they're going to discover a planet at this point, but I mean, you know, the goal is to get to Mars and put people there
reason?
I have no
idea. For what freaking reason?
I agree. We should. I'm not disagreeing.
Let's find the cure for breast cancer first.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that could be probably. But again, you're telling people how to spend their money.
Yes,
I am. They made this money.
Can you imagine if I was Jeff Bezos' wife? What would I be saying?
She also is one of the largest philanthropists in the entire. She does all. She does is
who?
Jeff Bezos' ex-wife or ex-wife?
Wife? Who are you talking about?
Are they talking about his ex-wife, who also is big into philanthropy?
What about the new wife?
She also has philanthropic things that she started as well.
And you know this as a fact, or are you just making it up?
Yeah, I follow Jeff Bezos. Lauren Sanchez had a post on there. I actually clicked on her Instagram to go like, oh, I'm curious, what does she do?
And Lauren is cool. She's actually
She has an
cool
organization that she also, you know, big charitable organization.
Good for
when
her.
You have that much money, you have to have charitable organizations you're constantly funding. Because it's a write-off for them
also.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a good thing.
So they're doing a lot.
Okay. So thank you. Thank you to them.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you.
These are.
And thank you for considering Eric Barrett Winter to go to, where do you want to go? What planet?
I just want to do the Magic Mountain into space ride.
Like up and down.
Like William Shatner did. Yeah, let's just try that. Start with that. Listen, Elon Musk sent four people in a thing around the planet
three times. You don't think it's irresponsible that you're going to do something so dangerous, even though you have a family? What if you don't come back? What if you're abducted by aliens?
I'm sure you'll move on just fine. But
I will, but not the kids. Yeah.
Exactly. See, you'll be fine. You'll be like, finally, I'm joking. It's over.
Can you imagine with my claustrophobia inside that?
You'd be a nightmare in space.
I can't do it. I'll be medicated.
You might have to.
What is this thing that you're addicted? What is the thing that you like? Anesthesia? What is the ingredient?
Propofol
that we talked about last week. I'll be with propofol.
What's the point of having you on that thing?
That's the thing. I wouldn't see anything. I'll go up and down, and then you ask me, I'm going to have no idea. I was sleeping. I was dreaming about it.
That's a complete waste.
Anyways, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Let's talk about something as radical. Not as radical, but very radical. What we're watching, which everybody, I guess, has been watching, is Squid Game.
It's crazy.
Could you ever do a game? Let's say it wasn't to kill you, okay? Because to kill you is a big deal. Like, you're going to die if you don't win this game. But could you do something where if you don't win every round of the game, like, you get beat up?
No.
Like, severely? Could you ever put yourself through such an extreme punishment in order to try and win such a large amount of money?
No, I don't want to do that. Nobody messes with this cute face.
But you could be worth... Okay, but if you take a few slaps to the cute face... You could make like some hard slaps.
No, thank you.
You could make $1 billion.
They can break my nose. It's okay.
Wow. So,
no, so I'm joking.
$1 billion is the cutoff to break your nose?
No. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm too. I don't tolerate pain too well. I'll quit within a second. Although I know how to box, I might kick their booty.
You know how to box?
I know how to box.
Say what?
You know how to, I know how to box.
Box what?
Somebody, if I have to.
You don't box anything. I've never heard that in my life. Because you've taken a boxing class?
I know a couple of moves, but it's my favorite sport. You don't think I studied boxing? It's like science.
I've never heard that. That was so random.
Okay, try me one day. Yeah. Just don't answer back because I'll call the cops.
I would love to put you in like a giant sumo suit and then we go at it. Like,
no, I'm not saying sumo.
That would be amazing.
Anyway, so you like Squid Game.
Could I take some punishment for some money? Yeah, I could take some punishment for some money.
I could do it.
I wouldn't get myself
There's
killed.
There's no way you allow anybody to touch your face. You think you're Brad Pitt?
Well, I don't think I'm Brad Pitt. Why do you always say that? I've never used those words in my life. Ever. I've never.
Okay, you think you're Tom Brady.
I've never used those words
No,
either.
You haven't. So you wouldn't mind somebody messing up your face. I don't want anybody touching your face.
I could take some punishment. I could take, you'd love it. You'd be like, smack him some more.
No.
Here's $2.
I'll
smack
go
him
crazy.
Some more.
If somebody hurts you, I'll go crazy. You'll watch my boxing skills if that happens. Okay. He doesn't believe me.
That's pretty good.
Whatever.
So you would not do it. I would do a version of it. I would not do the, let me get killed. But you know what's crazy? So that is now surpassed Bridgerton as being the most watched show in Netflix history. And also, I'm saying this because it sort of blends into, in our business right now, there's this big strike that is looming over the industry called the IATSE strike, which we all support. Our union supports the IATSE group, members. These are all our crew. They're like family. These are the ones that keep our shit moving. And they're trying to get some reasonable, they have reasonable asks for better living and better quality of life, like just basic things, meal penalties,
better work conditions.
And they're being fought left and right on this whole thing. But what's crazy, I guess, is, I'm learning more about this, is that the streamers are what are making it more difficult because streamers don't actually, so for example, we go on strike, they go on strike on Monday, which is very possible. Our production, The Rookie, gets shut down. We stop working. However long this strike lasts could determine if we do less episodes or, the same episodes this year, or if we have to work, through more Saturdays or whatever, right? If to try and fulfill the season, it's a risk, but they're fighting for something that they believe in. And we also support 100%. However, the streamers, I'm just giving everybody a little background on this. The streamers don't really suffer because the streamers have tons of content that already exists on their platform, right? So just because we have maybe 3-4 episodes of The Rookie in the bank that will still air, if the strike looms past a month or goes past a month, right, we're out of a show. The show gets pulled off the air and you can't even put reality television in it because they're all IATSE members as well. So now everybody goes to streaming, and that's why streamers aren't really concerned about the strike at the moment. And you get shows like Squid Game where you acquire it.
Because they get international content.
Well, yeah, they're acquiring things like Squid Game, which has now become the most watched thing on their platform. So this is a really...
And Bridgerton is actually in...
No, that's made. That was,
that was made overseas. Here. It's made, overseas, exactly.
Which is probably not... I don't think it's IATSE over there. But they can, all they have to do is take their content and make it in England, make it in Australia, make it somewhere else.
So what are you saying? That streamers don't care about this strike because they can acquire
that's
content
what I'm
from
learning
wherever?
Is that streamers are the bigger, the biggest holdout of the strike because they feel they still have the public's eye. And
I just read this morning that I guess, I don't know which one of the streamers was it, but they acquired like a bunch of
content.
Asian content, yeah. Like more than like 15 or
like
something.
It was Netflix that acquired some more stuff.
I don't know if it was Netflix, but like a lot, because of course, you know how it is. Like when something gets hot, now everybody jumps into the bandwagon. So, and that's not to say they're doing incredible stuff. You know, like the stuff coming out of the Asian
Squid Game is great.
Countries. Yeah, a lot of the Parasite, like, you know, they just know how to do their shit. It's great material. But it's interesting because now they're hot. Now everybody, and because of course,
well,
because
the strike,
success
people
of
are also
going to
grab
Squid
things
Game
for protection.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And it made me sad because I just go, it's incredible. Like when is it going to be the day that happens with the Latino market? You know what I mean? That something comes out, and there's a lot of incredible content from Spain, from South America, Colombia, Argentina, Chile, doing really awesome stuff, and that I wished it would break like that and become a phenomenon. So then you have the Netflix and you have all the streamers going, you know, we're just going to try to acquire 20
but
Latin
that show
American
Reina,
countries.
Reina del Sur do really well in that regard, didn't they? Or is that just on their channel?
La Reina del Sur is Telemundo. It does amazing for Telemundo, correct?
Yeah, I guess Americans aren't watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they're watching it in Spanish.
Exactly.
On like, it's more of a, well, no, you could watch it in Spanish. There's shows that have done, didn't the Selena thing do pretty well too?
They're okay. I mean, nothing compared. I'm talking about something that just breaks
the freaking
ceiling.
Yeah, but these are
phenomena.
You're talking, this beat Stranger Things. This beat like all of their things that are Narcos, all these.
So
amazing.
Let's come up with a craziest concept.
Let's come
in
up
in Spanish.
With, these are already.
I'm gonna come up with it.
All right. Yeah.
Mike, Squid Game se va a llamar el pulpo, el juego del pulpo.
El huevo del pulpo.
El juego del pulpo. The octopus game.
Juego. Dice yeah. Huevo.
El like, juego. O el caballito de mar challenge.
The seahorse challenge. That sounds. Awesome.
And let's make it like really dark and like Kill Bill type of thing.
That's what Squid Game is. You didn't invent anything. You just
I'll change it a little bit.
You just change the animal.
I know.
I got a great idea. So let's do Squid Game, but instead of a squid, it's a seahorse.
It's a caballito de mar. Very
that's
cute. Coming from the waters
original?
Of the Caribbean in Puerto Rico. And he has magical powers.
What is
and
it?
Then he has like bullets that come out of his little culito.
What?
And they can kill you if if you're not a good person.
What?
I don't know.
This is the worst
something
pitching.
Like that. No,
I
might
mean,
not.
Not selling this show. All right. Anyways, a good friend of ours is going to be on the show today.
Yes.
Nicholas Gonzalez, who's on the hit show La Brea.
That's
what I say with an accent. La Brea.
La Brea.
La Brea.
I'm from
NBC,
The Good Doctor
and
so many
good
of the
doctor.
Shows.
You've known him for years. I've worked with him on The Good Doctor.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know if we had any scenes together, but I saw him when I was there. We're excited to have him on the show and talk about life and moving on from The Good Doctor to La Brea.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment.
This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, brother? Where are you? There you are.
I am so sorry. It is insane here right now. We just moved into a new place and my daughter's going crazy. My wife's like doing a phone call, but this is perfect for what you guys want to talk about. But my apologies. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I was so excited to do this with you guys.
Are you in Melbourne right now?
No, I'm back, which is crazy.
Okay. That's where you guys shot, though, right?
We'd have no problem. But now I'm back in the madness. My wife is 30 weeks pregnant, almost 31 with our second. Wow. And my 4.5-year-old, I had to put on an iPad over there because it's just insane.
We get it.
Right now.
That's what we do. We know. Totally there's nothing else, you just give them an iPad and they'll be fine for a little bit.
Yeah. I'm like trying to like do all this, you know, manual labor around the house and she wants to help, which, you know, is with children, you got to stop saying no, even though it's going to take longer, even if they make a mess, because then they reach a certain age and they stop offering to help, you know, and that's a really important thing we learned is to always get her involved, even if it means it takes double the time.
Of course. Totally. That's great. Totally. Oh my God. You have a baby girl. You have a girl. And do you know the second one? Do you know the sex or not yet?
No, we waited with the first. We're going to wait with the second. It kills my wife. It makes me happy because it just kind of, everyone else gets nervous about it, you know?
I wasn't able to do it. Yeah.
I was like you. I could have waited. She wouldn't wait.
There's no way. I need to plan everything.
But what do you have to plan?
Everything.
Just plan the enjoyment of bringing this child into
the
world.
No, I feel like I'm not ready. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
A newborn doesn't care if the room is whatever color or the blanket is whatever color.
But I do.
I just love how Russell's just like, no. There's other things that you can't fathom, Eric. And I need to pay attention to those. That's the way my wife is too. She's like, yeah, well, no. And there's no, you don't even have to make a sensible argument. You just have to say, well, that's what I need. And then that's where it is.
You're right. That's right.
Well, I'm glad your wife gave you that you were able to wait and you'll find out together.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I still can't believe. I still keep thinking that, you know, her and the doctor, like whenever I'm not around.
You really won that battle. Yeah, you won. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. That's true. She might know and she's just keeping a good secret.
Yeah, she's a really good actress.
How was it? Well, I mean, first off, look, congratulations on La Brea. I mean, number one new drama this year. But I mean, it's crazy. Awesome. So you go from The Good Doctor, a hit. You go to La Brea, super blessed. That's incredible that happens. Boom, you're on a show. But now you find out you have to go from Vancouver to Melbourne, right? That's where you get shot. Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, it's a relationship like? Time bomb is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Because my wife was just trickling into her first trimester. We just found out right before I was going to leave that she was pregnant. We had been trying for 2.5 years, you know? The first pregnancy was super easy, seamless, you know, no issues whatsoever. And I think we just kind of thought that's the way it would be with the second, you know, and it took us 2.5 years, you know, trying. And I think many women have experienced this today. Unfortunately, there's so many numbers of experience unexplained infertility, you know, is what they tell you. And
I was one of them. Oh, both of our kids. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but both of our kids are IVF, you know, are in vitro because I couldn't get pregnant.
And multiple IVFs.
And that's exactly where we were headed. The short story is we got so fortunate that we went to Texas to get the vaccine. My family, you know, they're all physicians. And we had an opportunity. So we flew to Texas. This is like last April. And we were the night before, it was 10 p.m. We were just about to get, you know, go to bed, to wake up early for our shots at 8:30. And my wife says, you know, and this is, I bet Rosalind's the same way because I just know her already. But you know, she's like, I just have a feeling, you know, and you just have to like, okay. You know, she's like, I would just feel better if, you know, if we just took the test to see. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. So, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night now. And I drive to the drugstore, you know, finding the test. And there's 8 different kinds and there's electronic, yeah. There's the ones that aren't, you know, there's all these different ones. So it gets so confusing. So I get like 3 different kinds and inevitably it's not the right kind, but yeah, she does it anyway. And she's it's positive. You know, so then she's chugging water and taking more tests, and every test after that was negative. And I went back to the store, grabbed more, and they were negative, negative, negative.
No way.
Come to find out that that can happen. Well, that can happen a lot afterwards because you get diluted when you're just drinking all this water to try to do, you know, pee for the next test.
Well, yeah, you've diluted the urine, right? Because that's what it is. Like the chemicals in it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're Googling up false negatives, false positives, trying to see all this stuff. And then we finally just decided to do it again in the morning. Do it again in the morning. It was positive. So she said, you know, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'd rather find out, wait, you know, and I got mine the next day. And, you know, as you know, with doing a lot of fertility treatments, you know, then there's the long trip of, is it going to be viable? You know, how long is the baby going to be there? Is it going to form correctly? So you don't want to like tell anybody, obviously, you know, because
of course,
if you've had miscarriages or things, you know, it's sad. And mm-hmm. And you just kind of just want to go through it on your own. So we've been really a lot more tight-lipped about this one, but we're well past all the scary points. And, you know, we've now since shared it with our family and the public, and we're just really excited. But,
so
you know,
great.
As you say, I get this invitation to go to Melbourne, which was just kind of something we didn't really expect because the show's pilot started to shoot in Vancouver.
Sorry, the pilot shot in Vancouver?
Well, the pilot was supposed to shoot in Vancouver and then the pandemic hit. I was not a part of the pilot because my character comes in the third episode. And he was somebody that was added later. So, you know, I mean, this is relationship dynamite, you know.
So she didn't go with
pregnant.
You. She didn't
she couldn't come with me because Australia was in lockdown. And we were looking at 4.5 months apart. During that 4.5 months, my wife, right before I left, was offered, which is crazy because this isn't her norm, was offered 2 films back to back that shot in North Carolina. This is after I was gone. So now she's like pregnant. No one knows. Isn't
not showing
yet.
Right. So
not
she could
showing,
do it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we have a cousin fly out. The moms do a tag team where they go for 10 days each to go help because she's shooting. She's lead on this thing. And it's, you know, one of these indies where each film is going to take 3 weeks. So you're shooting every day. And you're shooting like 12 pages, you know, so a blessing, but just like, you know, we took it all on and with the 4.5-year-old, you know, running amok. So we were able to do it all. And
you're still happily married and everything works out.
They're asking me. If you ask me, you're happily married.
He's like, I think
you
we are.
Know, let me talk to your wife 1 second. Hey, guys,
you know, it's tough, you know, it's tough. And there's a lot of assumptions I made about, you know, a marriage, about relationships. You know, I think going into it as a man, you're like, well, I'll just make sure a person checks all the boxes and we're very open and we talk about it beforehand, not knowing that everything changes, you know, as you get older, be as your career interests or your interests in, you know, whether it's things you want to do to change the world or, you know, all these different things as a person you change. Of course, your relationship is going to change. And so
we both
know.
Check the actress box too, which is a whole nother deal. When you check the actress box,
it's another added difficulty.
We both check that.
And you guys aren't hard on the eyes either, you know?
Oh my God.
I know. I know what you're dealing with. I know what you're dealing with. But who took your child with you? Like you guys both, did you guys, you couldn't
no,
split
mom,
time.
Mom
did, right?
Of course.
She took, you know.
So you had 4.5 months, you were gone.
4.5 months I was gone and we were in lockdown. So not only was I gone, I would go to work, but then that was it. You had to come home.
You couldn't go anywhere.
For 4.5
Is there a world, because I mean, it's going to come back for a second season. The show is doing phenomenal, that it will move to LA, or this is going to be a deal that you potentially have to be all the way over there for 4 or 5 years, whatever, how many seasons you guys do.
Well, there's always that potential, but I think everybody's kind of assuming and hoping that it'll either be Vancouver or Los Angeles.
Okay.
How many episodes did you guys do?
10 total.
10 is that's been shot, and now you guys are waiting if there's going to be more for this season, or it's not mid season. It's a fall show, so you could be adding more soon.
Right. Probably won't add any. I think it's just a 10 to 13 episode per year kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. All right. It'll stay in that. So that's also manageable to a degree. If it had to go somewhere, it's 10 to 13. You're not doing like 22, where it's you're not coming back.
But we have our fingers crossed. I don't intend to go to Australia alone again. I would never take them into lockdown either. But I'm fortunate enough that my wife is very adventurous and as well wants to keep the family together. We were just coming off the Good Doctor, where we all lived together in Vancouver for 3 years. We raised our daughter there for the first 3 years of her life. And it was incredible. And we would love to go back, that being said, wherever I end up, we're planning on doing it together. You know, our daughter is going into kindergarten, which is tough because we're looking at schools, and schools are now $30,000 a year, which is how much I paid in college.
It's horrible.
Yes. And you don't get that money back if you suddenly have to move somewhere to do something, which is crazy because, you're holding a spot. So we're kind of in the middle of a lot of stuff. And I don't think the industry doesn't really cater to that. They don't really realize that we're families that have to make decisions, that there's a lot of things we're waiting on. This is the first time we're really making a headquarters in LA, this house we just moved into, because we just have moved around so much, but I've lived in other people's houses for so long.
Yeah.
We relate in so many levels, and this is a conversation, Nicholas, that we have pretty much every single day at home, because he shoots in LA, the show that I'm doing shoots in Puerto Rico, and then we have this movie that is going to be in Mexico, and then I want to direct this thing in Puerto Rico, and it's a conversation, but you're going to leave again. It's constant negotiation, and there's fights involved, and there's, and sacrifices that you have to make, and it's tricky. It's tricky for relationships,
The location's a big part of it, right? Because if it's Vancouver and one's in LA, it's still not ideal, but you can jump on a plane on a Friday and be home for the weekend. Australia, that's not happening. Puerto Rico, it can kind of happen, but you're still looking at a 12 hour travel day. There's no direct flight.
The thing with Puerto Rico to me is home. My family's there. You know what I mean? Like I know it's super far, and I know it's inconvenient because it's very far away from Los Angeles. But when I think about Puerto Rico, it's like, I'm home. I'm going back home. So it's much easier. You hate it, but it's much easier.
No, it goes to his point though. Like if the family's going to travel together.
But it's not always possible.
But if that's the way that you can really kind of make it work.
Mi manager siempre dice, Ross, as actors, this career is so unpredictable, and we're so blessed that we've been working consistently for 20 something years. It's like, it's funny because I always tell Eric when I think about Nick, and I've known you for what, 20, 24, 25 years now?
It's at least 25, yeah. I think it was about 98, 99.
Yeah, for a long time. And I always tell Eric, Nicholas always works. He's always working. I don't remember ever thinking about what is Nicholas doing? You're always on a show, So you've been very blessed. And the same thing with me, now ups and down, but I always work. So my manager says, Ross, you're talking about first class problems. It's like, you're so blessed that you're working. That's what matters. You know how many actors we would like to be talking about, but what do I do? Like, where do I go? You know what I mean?
Yeah, people love to talk about that and say, well, but you're working, and everybody would love to switch positions. But, I'm very envious of not only Eric, you having a show in LA, that's huge.
It's amazing.
I can't remember the last time I had a show in LA and I wasn't able to build a home. So we were always in different cities, living in Airbnbs, living in someone else's space and someone else's furniture, and never really having a home base. And that makes a huge difference, because I've had stuff in storage. I've lived in this sweatshirt from the beginning of the pandemic.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And taking it around with me. So, that's been a hard part. But like I said, it's people, you look at celebrity couples, like big celebrities, and you always wonder how they can't keep, relationships. But when you're going from project to project to project, you just don't have the time. The time is not there. It's not physically there to leave set, fly somewhere, spend quality time when you're not prepping, and then go right back. You can fly back and forth, but like with the advent of COVID, you couldn't fly back and forth. I was shooting up in Canada during COVID, and I had to go up for 2 weeks. You're sitting there in quarantine in a room that you can't leave. And I have kids at home. I have my wife at home. And I'm like, this is crazy. Why am I spending 2 weeks of my life in suspended animation?
I had a meltdown. I did that. I think it was November last year. I did a movie in Vancouver. No, was it Vancouver?
It was Toronto.
And I had to do 2 weeks I had to do this quarantine for 2 weeks. And I remember, and I had to, I couldn't leave at all. As you know, you cannot leave. If I was ordering Uber, whatever, they live there, we'll have to leave it right at the door. I couldn't open the door. It was just very, very dramatic. You know, it was very intense. And I landed, went to bed. The next day I called Eric with a full panic attack, hysterical, going, I can't do this. I'm going to call Lifetime. I'm going to say, I'm going home. I cannot. What am I doing here? I have two kids. What the heck am I doing here?
You feel really bad about it. It's
oh crazy. My God. I was miserable. Like full panic attack. Like I couldn't breathe. And Eric, he spoke to me and said, Ross, you need to just breathe and calm down. You know, he's like, it's okay. You're going to be fine. But I was like, so ready to just go back. I was like, forget about this. It's intense. It's intense.
Yeah. You have already done it, you know, twice already. You know, during this pandemic.
I'm kind of hungry.
You're hungry. go get a beef stick. We got these amazing. By the way, we get this amazing. We're totally into regenerative agriculture, which adds a whole other thing. You know, when you're looking for food, you just can't get anywhere. But
you're into what? What did you say? What kind of culture?
Regen.
What? You're into what culture?
What kind of culture?
What? Yeah.
It's
it's regenerative agriculture. You know, it's a step past organic farming, a step past sustainable. It's like regenerative, where we're taking the carbon, you know, out of the atmosphere, putting in the soil, really healthy soil.
And how do you do that? Where do you buy those products? How do
well,
you
that's
eat?
What I was going to say. There's a company called Rep Provisions, which is incredible. They're out of Oklahoma, and we try to support what the model that they have going. But what I specifically told them is these little beef sticks, where it's actual real grass-fed beef, no hormones added, nothing else, no fillers, real smoke, hickory smoked, you know, no smoke flavor added.
What's it called? Rep what?
Rep, R-E-P, Rep.
Oh,
provisions.
Nicholas, what have you done? Now this guy is going to be obsessed with that.
He's trying to tell me. Rep what?
R-E-P? Provisions.
Provisions.
R-E-P. Provisions.
Oh, my God.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, regenerative agriculture essentially is, you know, fostering soil health and regenerating the biosphere around, you know. So, like, bees come back, the birds come back, pastoral grasses, you know, so you don't look at farmland when you're driving through the Central Valley, you know, between here and San Francisco, and see just like dirt, you know, just dirt as far as you can see, right? We want it covered in grass. We want to regenerate the soil and tilling and this kind of agriculture. That's the way the agricultural complex does, is that we just have dead fields. We go out there, till them, put the seeds down, put in, you know, manure and fertilizer just to grow that. And then that's dead. And then we go through this process over and over again, which is different from having soil that's alive, you know, and having the fungus and the organisms and everything else there, and how much that takes of carbon out of the atmosphere, how many more phytonutrients it puts into your fruits and vegetables. You know, a carrot that your parents ate might have 400% more phytonutrients than what we're eating now. It looks like a carrot,
but it
really doesn't have any of the vitamins and minerals that ours have. And, you know,
how did you learn about this?
I'm all about this now.
You all during the pandemic. Crazy. My wife had a company, not only being an actress, but she started her own business, which was a staffing agency that was in 12 cities across the United States, and had built it up to this really big thing that we were going to sell. And the pandemic hit, and event business was just crushed.
Oh, wow.
And she's a doer. You know, she's a lot of what I think I've also heard Eric being described as. But although I know you, Rosalind, very well, and I know that you're you know, getting business and getting things done. But my wife is very A-type, and, you know, it's a matter of, she just wants to go full bore into something. And she's like, I can't stand here and be, not do anything, you know, and, you know, all the social justice stuff was going on, the protests. And so it was just like, you had to feel like you wanted to do something. And she's like, I just want to get more involved. And she became a soil advocate. Took a lot of classes with the Rodell Institute, and Carbonauts is another one people can look at on, even on Instagram, and just find out what you can do to change, you know. But anyway, we support this group, Rep Provisions out of Oklahoma. They make do a model where they get a bunch of other farmers and help them make that 3-year transition to organic and regenerative. And they provide them with distribution. They provide them with the processing. So it all happens nearby. It all happens humanely, which is very important on how our meat is treated on the way to being processed. And the process happens locally, and then it's distributed. And so the more we, you know, the rest of us who can afford to support these systems, making them more prevalent, so then this model will spread, and we won't have to be getting it from Oklahoma, but we can be sourcing it closer.
And as a vegan or a vegetarian, can you use the same model?
You can't eat
with regenerative agriculture. Sure. You know, yeah. That's the whole element, you know, animals are needed to rip up the soil by just even by eating it and by defecating into, and their heat, their hooves pushing, you know, night nutrients back into the soil. Crop rotation is used that way too, where you take the animals through the different paddocks before you're going to plant, and they kind of, you know, rip up the topsoil and all that. So it's all part of it. You know, it's all a symbiosis, you know, they're used.
And like you said, the vegetables you'd be eating now technically have much more nutrients than the vegetables. I mean, the vegetables back then have more nutrients than the vegetables we eat now primarily. So in this model, you get back to that sort of way of growing things in the purest form.
And at its basic, we should all be eating, you know, at least organic bread if we can too. You know, glyphosate is something that's sprayed all over our wheat and it causes so many different conditions, inflammation and, you know, heart disease and all the other cadre of diseases that we now suffer because of these diets that are kind of, you know, with fillers and pesticides and ultra processed. And that's a tough thing, you know, it's expensive and it's not something that everybody feels comfortable with, but you're going to pay on one side. You know, you're going to pay either when you're buying your food or you're going to pay when you go to the hospital.
Oh my goodness.
You see all this stuff they've been learning, and all we've been doing is watching Squid Game. I know we haven't finished it yet. Don't tell us.
And that's the worst when you're trying to binge it when you're with your partner because you can't watch on your own. And you're like, I want to watch it. I could watch it right now. She's asleep, but I can't because she's like, you'll see on Netflix. They're like, what does it say? Episode 3.
Did you jump ahead?
I know that happened. I was writing something last night, and he was like, come on, I'm waiting. Can I finish doing this, please? And he's pissed because it's 10:30 at night. But I'm done. Let me finish this. And he's annoyed at me because he wants to start watching.
And how many times have you just like been like, no, we can watch that. You haven't seen that yet. You're watching something you've already seen.
Oh my God.
Are you into Ted Lasso too? Did you guys watch that together?
You know what? We have the whole second season waiting to be watched.
It is so good.
You're going to love it.
It's so good.
It's good when you can find a show to do.
Listen,
like
the
that.
Transition, Nicholas, and thank you for giving us all this. I had no idea that word existed about
regenerative agriculture.
So I appreciate the education, and I know Eric is going to become obsessed, and he's going to be calling you so you can continue the conversation, and we're going to change our eating habits, and it's going to be a whole deal. It's okay.
Well, that's one thing that happened with the pandemic is it really allowed that. You know, my wife got on this train, and again, that's the link with the unexplained infertility too. You know, changed all the makeup out, everything from beauty counter, everything natural, no more heavy metals in makeup and cosmetics and the stuff we put on our face every day. The certain Crazy. Things that you're eating every day, or as men, we're having protein powders, you know, and if you're going to do that, then you want really clean stuff because you're having very high amounts of this going through your body. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing. You know, we have a Chinese medicine doctor who does Eastern medicine. And that was one of the big things. She said, look, don't stop any of the fertility stuff you're going to be starting, you know, do your interviews, do everything, but give me 2 months. Give me 2 months. Let's change how you eat. Let's change what you put on your body. No antiperspirants. You know, you got to find a natural one because you're putting aluminum right into your body. So a lot of these things that we don't realize that we're just contaminated with constantly that can lead to infertility. And, you know, it was 2 months, 3 days before that 2 month deadline when we were pregnant, you know, and so it changed our diets. And because of the pandemic, we were all kind of in one place with our in-laws as well. And we were able to help change their diet. My father-in-law's off statins. His cholesterol went way down. It's just really remarkable, and it's something we're trying to do now, and just kind of change the diet of our family, and we'll send them care packages of our favorite products and all that kind of thing.
Wow,
that's awesome!
Oh my goodness, I love it. It's great. So interesting. I love it. Well, we are so proud of you, Mr. Nicholas, Mr. Working Man. Family man, daddy of two. Oh my God, I love it. I'm for real. Tú sabes que te conozco hace muchos años y estoy súper orgullosa de ti y me regocijo en tus triunfos. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Gracias. Yes. You know, it's the hard thing is throughout it, I think we become so focused. And I know when you and I met, Rosalind, with, you know, your business, you, unfortunately, our business is us, you know, literally is the product. That's so much the focus, you know, and what I've always said about once having children is now there's suddenly something more important than myself, you know, which was just liberating. It really was, and just changed me even as a person, the way I presented myself out in the world, you know, the way I look back now and I'm just kind of like, you know, because everything makes much more sense. You worried about so many things when it's like, this is what it's really about. So when it comes to your relationship, that's the foundation. I mean, you see so many people that they're great when they're around a kid, or they'll talk about their significant other and go, oh, my husband, he's so good with the baby and he's a great dad. But what about your relationship? You know, and we can't forget about that. And it's hard not to, because it's so easy to put our time and attention right into this little one. But my wife and I made a commitment in the beginning of saying, look, we're going to try to keep ourselves as the most important part. Like, you to me are the most important person. And you are, even though this little one's going to continually wedge in, and how can you not care for this one? But we kind of had to really do that to put our relationship first and foremost, because if we have a nice, strong, healthy relationship, if we have a loving relationship, if my children see the way I talk to their mother in a loving and a very respectful way, which is huge. And it's so hard not to get caught up and go, well, she knows, or she knows I'm busy, or children don't know, you know, and they see us, they watch us, and they don't hear what we say. They watch more what we do. And so that's why it's been just so important to us. You know, therapy is not something that you do because you have problems. Therapy is something you do because you want to minimize those problems. We're all going to have them. And they're going to come, and they're going to come in spades, and they're coming in ways you don't even expect. And yet you need someone there. You need someone there to navigate through that, to realize, you know, there's, whether it's old traumas that we play out that we then pass on to our children, or we just play out in relationships. You know, there's so many different things about the visions of what we think love should look or feel like. And we have a bad habit of lust or that kind of thing. That's what love felt like. I can't breathe without you kind of love, or that young kind of passion that we had, you know, realizing that that's not love. Love is a choice you make every day. It really is. It has to be, because they're going to annoy each other. You know, it's just living together isn't a normal natural thing with people, I think. And
it's work. We always say it's work. Not in a bad way, but it's work.
It has to be. As important as you treat your job or anything else, like, you have to treat your relationship that much more important than everything else. And it's true, like what you said, if you don't put your partner first, even though the tendency is often the kid, you think it's like you're doing a disservice to the child, but really the disservice comes when the partnership falls apart because you weren't putting the partner first. Now the kid really suffers.
Right.
Because the partnership isn't stable.
And you can have the best intentions. You can say, well, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to have to go through all this. But that's not enough a lot of times. And you need someone to help navigate that. You know, I thought, I'm an intelligent guy. I understand how things work. I don't need to have someone sitting here telling me that, you know, my mom working, you know, the 9 to 5 when I was a kid, and I was a latchkey kid who came home from school, and, you know, she wasn't there, that I might have hidden resentments about that. You know, like, I grew up fine. I had a good childhood. You know, as far as I know, my parents divorced when I was 4, you know, my dad's on his 4th marriage, which is his last. But you know, these things have an effect, and these things have a way in how you see the way the world works. And we had a way of the way we argue, you know. It was raised voices, and it was sarcasm, and all these things that just, my wife's like, that's not going to fly. You know, I'll wait till you're done, and then you let me know when you're ready to talk. And it's about dealing with all those things, like looking at the way it makes you feel, that tightness you get in your chest. And why do I get this every time my wife asks me to do something that she's already asked me, and why? And I'm fully intending on doing it. It's just, I'm doing too many things all at once. And why am I going to lash out right now? You know, what do I want the end result to be? A lot of times I'll say that with my wife. I'm like, okay, I get it. And I know we're mad, and we're going to say things to try to get back to each other. But how do you want this to end? And she's like, well, I want you to do what I asked. I want this to happen, or this. I'm like, I do too. So how can we make that happen in a better way? You know, and that's not me always being, this is me in a very, you know, in the best beatific light, but you know, you have to find that space, because otherwise you'll tell your stories in your head to yourself about whether it's past relationships, or, well, it wasn't this way with so-and-so, or not. This isn't the way it should be. And I shouldn't have to put up with all this. You know, life is messy. It's like, happiness happens in spurts. You know, there's peaks, and then there's valleys, and they're going to come along. And the horrible things happen in our life, and it's how we weather them. That's just, you know, there's no way to stay completely happy. There's no, you know, amount of success or money that makes that happen.
A big part of it's managing. She's just adjusting them to the camera.
You know what?
A big part of it's we had a therapist tell us before, like that tightness in the chest, that feeling. It's your natural fight or flight response. And it's what the human body does, like an animal would do when you feel you're under attack. And it's not a genuine attack for your life, but even when it's a verbal argument, you get this fight or flight response, and it's all about trying to manage that response and not have the animalistic reaction of either lashing out and fighting or just running from the argument. You have to literally calm it all down, bring it all down, have a lot of breaths, take a step away, and then try to regroup at more of a, you know, a calm, at a calmer level of communication. Because if the fight or flight takes over, you're done.
That's the everyday yoga of relationships. You know, I say everyday yoga because people are like, you know, if you ever try to get someone to do it, they're like, oh, I'm not good at that. Or meditation. Oh, I can't meditate. My head's too much. It's like, well, that's the practice. No one can really purely, you know, there's certain people who can completely clear their mind, or sometimes we reach those moments, but it's not about how many times I can do that. It's the process of trying to do that. And so it's like when these things come up, when those feelings come up, that's the yoga of the day of breathing and being able to hold yourself in a really difficult position. You're just in a different type of position, you know? It's one that's more philosophical or psychological rather than sometimes it is physical, but really being able to practice that and step outside, because there's stories we tell ourselves. And I think that even now with social media and everything out there now, that there's stories that are out there that it's harrowing. It's scary. You know, you turn on the TV, you know, is your mattress killing you live at 11? And, you know, it's these things that we're always kept on the edge about. And then now with, you know, media, and can we trust them, and what's right? And is this vaccine killing me or is it not? Or what's right for my family? Regenerative agriculture. Oh my God, am I feeding my family plastic? Should I be, you know, paying? There's so many things out there. And if you live at this stressor and this constant like cortisol spikes, it's just not good. And so it's a matter of realizing that no one's ever good at these things. It's just the constant practice. And if we're looking for that quiet, we're looking for that space, telling ourselves that the story that's around us, that's in the ether, that's off of social media, doesn't exist the way it's being told to us. It's a story that's being crafted, being shown. Mm-hmm. The world is what it is right now. Right now, you're not dealing with those things. Right now, the debt or whatever it else that's crushing you, you're alive, you're breathing. Hopefully you're not hurting. There's nothing, you know, metastasizing in your body, but in this moment, you're okay. And if you can walk yourself through that, I think that really makes a big difference, not only just on the day-to-day with people who have anxiety issues or you know, worries about what's going to happen next in the world, especially now, but also in the midst of those arguments and, you know, sitting with your wife or your husband and trying to figure out how you got into this position when you were just trying to figure out what you wanted to eat that night.
Yeah.
And now you're arguing.
True.
Are you listening to everything he's saying?
Are you listening?
Are you going to take it into consideration?
Are you?
Are you going to be calling Nicholas Gonzalez as your therapist from now on?
That's great advice.
You better know. It's incredible.
Said no one ever.
No, listen.
Hey, Nicholas, let's get a drink and let's talk about
the problem. Yeah, listen, Nicholas, I need you in my life. I need you to help me here with Eric. Please.
I've always been in your life. Eric is a wonderful man. Eric is a wonderful man. You're so fortunate.
He is. A little annoying, but he is.
My wife says the same thing. We could switch.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, you golf?
Not well, occasionally.
No one does. Yeah. Good. We'll have a very happy marriage.
We'll talk over golf. Yeah, for sure. Thanks for being with us,
Thank you.
This has been great. Very enlightening on a lot of levels.
That's such a pleasure.
Amazing. And congrats. Have a wonderful, make this be, I'm sure it's a beautiful house. Make it an incredible home. The best of luck and the most incredible delivery of this new baby. Baby boy, baby girl, who knows, but it's going to be a blessed one. Yeah, y nada, cuídense mucho. Bendiciones.
Thank you. And I just love staring at those beautiful faces. Best of luck to you, too.
Thanks, brother.
Bye.
Great America you, does, too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events.
With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wow, that was amazing.
So good, so good. Such a great guy.
Yeah.
Again, feel so fortunate to have him on the show.
What did I say to you before? That Nicholas is very smart.
Very smart.
Very smart.
You learned a
highly educated, a super classy. You know, he's awesome. Are you going to be now buying...
regenerative agriculture? Hell yeah. I'm going to Google that tonight as soon as I get home.
Oh, Jesus Lord.
Beef sticks. I'm going to get, see if they have protein powders. I'm getting all that stuff.
It makes a lot of sense. And you want to continue giving Sabella generic salami.
No. I don't want to keep giving her that. You said just give it to her because that's what she'll eat.
Protein.
She needs protein.
She needs to eat protein. So let me get her salami.
No.
It's disgusting.
That's not true. That's the only protein she wants to eat. I want her to eat other things that are healthier. Okay. Anyways, before we go, we're going to answer a listener email. Mm-hmm. Christian, I am a 22-year-old guy who recently met a 52-year-old woman.
He's how old? 22?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've gone out twice and I've grown feelings for her. I don't think she feels the same way about me, but after getting to know her and her being very open and being vulnerable about her problems, divorces, exes, life struggles, etc., I would like to be there for her and comfort her in her times of need. Surely she might be interested in me, right?
No.
What do you mean no? That's how we started.
Christian, run a mile.
What are you talking about? That's how we started.
Eric, wait, what are you talking about? I'm not 30 years older than you.
3 years older, but.
Exactly, three.
But we 30. Started with you opening up about your exes, divorces, life struggles, etc. And we were friends.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
He's 22. She's 52, correct?
Yeah, I think.
No. Papi, óyeme, papi.
What if he likes older women?
Christian, no, but then 15 years should be there. Not even 10 years older. That's it. And I'm sure she's beautiful and she's wonderful, but...
Do you say that to Catherine McPhee and David Foster? 30-year difference? Do you have a problem with them?
No, I don't. Not with them.
Okay, there you go. So if you don't have a problem with them, Christian, you can be like Catherine McPhee and David Foster.
Christian, you're going to run a mile. Please.
I think...
You're a baby. Go and live life.
My advice, and
travel and... I mean, use this as an experience and an adventure. Go in, go out. And that's it. She's going to be okay. She's a grown-ass woman.
Listen, I don't disagree with my wife on this one completely. I will say she probably has some interest in you for sure. If she's sharing all these things with you and spending time with you, there's definitely
well,
there's interest.
She's happy that she feels that she's attractive, that somebody that's young is actually paying attention to her is more of an ego.
But you do have a 30-year difference, dude. You're 22. You have your, unless you are really, really, really into older women and that's your thing and you're going to go from a 30-year-old.
Christian, do you have mommy issues? Where's your mom, Christian?
That's sad. What a Christian.
He has mommy issues.
No, Christian, don't listen to her. If you're into 30-year age differences, and you're just going to jump to another one like that, then maybe you'll stick this one out. But otherwise, you are 22. You should be out there having a great time like 22-year-olds do. Be single. Enjoy playing the field.
Be single and mingle.
Do the dating apps like we talked about. I didn't get to do any of those things. Get to do dating apps. Get out there. Go date.
Great advice, Eric. Great advice.
Have fun. Don't settle down now.
Okay. Christian, good luck.
You didn't really answer anything for him. You just told him to run.
Yeah, that was my answer.
Okay.
Black or white. Run a mile.
All right. Well, it's been fun.
It's been fun. All right. Bye. I love you.
Love you too.
Subscribe to He Said Ella Vijo on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.